The title of my message this morning is simply Grace and Peace. Grace and Peace. The Apostle Paul says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Grace and peace. Now this letter to the churches at Galatia, Paul wrote this letter, and it's a little different than the other epistles. Those epistles were written to churches in cities. This was a province. This was a very large group of churches in Galatia that the Apostle Paul started. He founded these churches. You can see that in Acts chapter 18. He founded these churches, and they received him gladly. It was a wonderful message. He preached the gospel of God's grace, and these people, these churches, many churches received him. They loved the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they loved Paul. They loved the message that he preached. Matter of fact, in chapter 4 and verse 14, the apostle said, you would have plucked your eyes out for me. You received this gospel. You love this gospel. And I know this, you loved me. But something happened to these churches after Paul had left. Soon after he had left, many false preachers came in. Many false prophets came in teaching against the message of justification by faith in Christ alone. They were preaching faith in Christ, but they were adding circumcision. They were adding the law of Moses to the gospel. We have this today. There are many false prophets gone out, and if you want to know who they are, they're simple. They take anything and add it to Jesus Christ for salvation. Most of them today are those who preach progressive sanctification. This is adding to Christ. They say you're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, but you must sanctify yourself by obedience to the law of Moses. You must become progressively holy. I was talking to Scott about this. I saw it on the sermon audio. I don't encourage anybody to look at it. But they entitled this conference, The Grace of the Law. The Grace of the Law. When in all of Scripture, the apostle sets these two things in opposition to one another. They are set in opposition, and this matter of sanctification is not a work of the believer, it is the work of God. Paul says this many times. You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, unto the church which is at Corinth, to them that are, what? Sanctified in Christ. Sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, sanctified ones. If you go over to just at the end of that chapter, he says, but of God are you in Christ, who of God has made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, what? Sanctification and redemption. Sanctification is the work of God. The Father in election is the work of God. The Son in for making us holy. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in creating a holy nature in us. We don't become more holy. This is what they were teaching. They said, this is, you're believing in Christ is good, but you must be circumcised in order to be justified. Well, that's what Paul is preaching that wrote this letter for. And he was so moved. He was so surprised by them. He said, I'm so surprised that you're moved from the gospel. Moved from Christ. And he writes this letter, and to no surprise, these false prophets, the first attack they make at the Apostle Paul is simply to attack his apostleship. They were attacking his apostleship, saying, well, Paul is not really an apostle. He's just been anointed by Peter and James and John. He's not a real apostle. And so the apostle here, first of all, must defend his apostleship. That's what he does in his first section. He defends his office as an apostle. And then throughout the rest of the book, he takes on this matter of justification. Is justification by grace or is justification by the law? It can't be of both. It can't be of both. Those false prophets were mingling grace and works. You want to know false prophets? Simply ask this question. Is salvation by grace or is it by something you do? False prophet will tell you something you do. You must do something. God did all he can and the rest is up to you. That guy's a false prophet. That's what the whole book's about. And so he goes on to justification by grace or by works, and the conclusion is simple. Salvation is by grace. It is by grace. And the grace of God works in the believer and he produces fruits of the Spirit. And that anyone who adds anything to Christ, Paul said this in I believe chapter 5, he said, if you add one thing to Christ, Christ profits you nothing. If you add circumcision, you that would be circumcised, you add that to Christ, Christ profits you nothing. Now, this morning, I want us to see in this greeting of the Apostle Paul, this salutation, that he is a wise master builder. He lays out all that I just said in these few verses. The Apostle Paul, he tells you in these few verses what he's going to tell you. Then he tells you, and he tells you what he told you. Now, I know Brother Don told me that a long time ago. He said, tell him what you're going to tell him, and tell him what you told him. So that's what he did. And so that's what Paul does here in these few verses. And so I want to see these three things. I want to see the apostle, first of all, we're going to take just a few seconds and a few minutes of looking at his defense. His defense of his apostleship, because this book is not legitimate. If the apostle Paul is not a true apostle of Christ, then this is not the word of God. So he must of necessity defend his apostleship. And that's what he does right out of the gate. Look at this. He makes no bones about it. Paul, what? An apostle. Says it first of all. And notice he says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. He starts out defending immediately his apostleship. Now, a man of God is never called to parade his office. We don't do that. We don't make much of ourselves. Matter of fact, in many places, Paul says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? One place he says, we're nothing. That's true. Men who preach the gospel, we count ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. We don't parade our office. We don't draw attention to ourselves to feed our pride. But when called into question concerning our authority, there must be great importance to manifest to our hearers that we are called of God. Listen, a man's not called of God, he shouldn't be preaching. He's not called of God, he shouldn't be preaching. But this matter of apostle is much greater than the office that I hold. This is the office that God used to write His Word. And so if Paul was not an apostle, then all the New Testament, most of the New Testament is invalid. And so Paul must defend his apostleship. He says, I am an apostle, listen, by Jesus Christ. I was appointed an apostle. Remember that scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, he said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastor teachers. These are offices that are given by God, and Paul has claim on this office. Now, what is an apostle? An apostle, the word simply means messenger, and so if you want to say, I'm a messenger, yes, in that sense I may be an apostle, but not in the sense of Scripture. The apostles were a distinct office because they had heard their message directly from Christ. Directly from Christ. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Christ our Lord? It is of necessity to be an apostle. You must see Christ. Now you're going to hear, you can go on the internet if you want to, you can find a whole bunch of people calling themselves apostles. They're not. They're not. That office is closed. There were only these apostles that God called. There's no more apostles. And Paul manifests this. He says, I am an apostle. These men were trying to discredit him. They said, no, he's been given his office by one of the other apostles. But look at verse 15. Paul deals with this. He said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately, listen, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia, returned again to Damascus, then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem. Can you imagine the bliss of this? The Apostle Paul spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ receiving His Word. What a wonderful office. What a wonderful gift he was given. And so we know then that this gospel, whatever Paul preaches and writes in this gospel, is authoritative. It is the Word of God. And so if men have problems with this, they have a problem with God's Word. This is God's Word given to us through the apostles. Now the second thing, he deals in this salutation, he deals with the main focus of the whole letter, which is salvation. Now, these words, grace and peace through our Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins. That's the gospel, isn't it? That's the whole sum of justification. By grace, we have peace only through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sum of his message. There's no law in that, is there? There's no mention of law in this salutation. Grace and peace only through the death of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and for the glory of God. That's what he deals with next. Look at this. Grace, verse 3. He says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father. And we're going to focus on these two words, grace and peace. Now, peace is a thing everybody is striving for. Peace. They just had a peace deal, right, in the Middle East. Peace deal. Everybody wants peace. You ask a common person what they want most. They want some rest. They want some contentment. They want peace. You hear it oftentimes that people put it on their bumper stickers, little peace signs. They want peace. You hear parents raising their teenagers, what do they want? They want peace. They want some peace. Just give me some rest. Just give me some peace. When troubles of life erupt and the waves of trouble overflow our souls, what do we ask for? Peace. Give me peace. When our guilt and conscience overwhelms us and we struggle with sin and shame rages over our heart, what is it you want? You want peace. Peace. Peace of conscience, peace of body, peace of mind, peace with men, peace with self. We want peace. We want some peace. If peace is longed for by men, then why don't they have it? If they strive so hard for peace, why do men not have peace? You can be all by yourself and not have peace. Isn't that right? People are committing suicide at a greater rate now being alone with themselves. They're not at peace. No peace. What's the cause? One word. Sin. The reason we have no peace is because we have sin. And sin is what separates men from God. And so if we have sin, we have no peace with God, and every other kind of peace is useless. If you have no peace with God, what good is any other kind of peace? You must have peace with God, or there will be no peace anywhere else. You won't find it anywhere else unless you know you have peace with God. Peace with God. When God created the world, there was what? Peace. There was peace in the earth because there was peace with God and with man. But when our fathers sinned, what happened to peace? It left. It left. God cursed the earth for His sake, and from that time forth He has been struggling. The earth has not yielded her great strength ever since. And man has worked by the sweat of his brow day after day after day. When Adam sinned, God cursed him, God killed him, and man has not been at peace since. Therefore, what we need is the removal of sin. If you want peace with God, that's the thing that stands in our way, is our sin. Our sin. Leave over in Isaiah chapter 59, it says that our iniquities have separated between us and God. Our iniquities. And so where there once was peace, now Adam needs a covering. He needs to cover his nakedness. No peace. He went from loving God to running from God. He went from praising God to blaming God. He went from life to death. He went from being wise to being a fool, all because of sin. So then, that's the reason why there is no peace in the world. Because of sin. This world is cursed, and all that is cursed. Have you not found this to be true, that we get up in the morning, we go to work, we face all kinds of troubles, all kinds of difficulties, nothing goes our way, and then by the end of the day, you finally get a little rest, and you get up and you do what? You do it again. It's the same. It's the same because sin has cursed this world. Now, these words in our text are very important if we desire peace, and especially peace with God, because no other peace really matters except this one. These words in our text are very important. Do you long for peace and contentment? Do you long to alleviate the pain and suffering of this life? Do you long for the storms of life to cease and have peace? Then you need peace with God. You need peace with God. How then can we have peace with God? Well, in our text, these words are in a specific order for a reason. I did take peace first, because that's what we need. But how do we get it? Well, you got to go back to the first word, grace. You see, grace in Scripture, go look it up. Grace, when these two words are put together in Scripture, they are always in this order. Grace and what? Peace. Grace comes first, and then peace. Romans 7:1, Paul said, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:2, grace and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, Thessalonians 1, all the same. Grace and peace. 2 John 1:3, John even says that grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, these greetings, these salutations are vitally important. They're not there to take up space. A lot of times we have salutations, right? We say, how are you? How you doing? Now, do we really mean how you doing? I imagine if somebody answered, you would probably be surprised. Well, I'm not doing too good. My toe hurts. And let me tell you about it. No, that's not what we mean. We just mean, hi.
That's what we really mean. Don't really answer it.
But these salutations are not like ours. They're vital. They're important. The Holy Spirit wrote them here for our learning, for our instruction. They're not here to take up space. And this order is vital. Grace always comes before peace. And so what kind of peace are we looking for? The only peace that matters is peace with God. Why? Because every other peace is temporary, right? If I have peace from my... I said I want peace from teenage children. Now, if I get peace from teenage children, how long will that last? It's temporal. It's temporal. If you have peace of conscience, how long does that last? It's temporal. Even believers, how long does your peace of conscience last? Doesn't last very long. The only thing that really matters is this, because it's eternal. If I have peace with God, I'm safe. If I have peace with God, I'm saved. And there's nothing that can break that peace. Why? Because it's by grace and not by merit. That's why this peace is vital. This peace gives me peace when I have no other peace. I still can have peace, even when everything else is not peaceful. Why? Because this peace comes by grace. So many preachers are preaching that you can have peace just by decision. By making up your mind to have peace, you can have peace. Not with God. Now we may manipulate our minds to have all kinds of peace. You can put on a smiling face and you can do a whole bunch of things. But you can't have peace with God without the grace of God. Except God give you peace, you won't have it. You won't have peace with God. It is by the unmerited favor of God. So many men are crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. World and false religion, they give a false sense of peace. The scripture says they heal my people slightly. Religion puts a band-aid on the wound. But the wound is internal. It's not external. It's not fixing up things. We have a wound that's deep. It's like putting a band-aid on a cancer patient. It's not going to do any good. The wound that we have is deep, and it must be healed by a miraculous, a divine healing. And this healing only comes by grace. Now, what does the scripture say about the wicked and peace? He said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up dirt and mire. That sounds a lot like religion. It stirs up the dirt and mire. It tries to confuse you. The gospel's not confusing, is it? It's salvation by the grace of God alone, through faith in Jesus Christ and His perfect work to accomplish redemption. And that is applied only by the Spirit of God in grace to the sinner. Religion confuses things, and what it says, there is no peace with the wicked. There's no peace. Are you like the troubled sea? Is your heart devoid of peace? If you have no peace with God, it's because you're wicked. You're wicked. You have sin. And the only hope then is to be without sin. And the only way to be without sin is grace. The grace of God. The grace of God. What then is the answer? We all have sinned, haven't we? We've all would be identified with this wicked. The only way then for peace is the grace of God. No man will ever be at peace with himself or the world around him unless he has peace with God. And this matter of peace in the human heart is a matter of sovereign grace toward the individual. There will never be a person by nature to obtain peace by works, merit, an offering, or the will. Peace only comes by the grace of God. Why? We're born dead. Just like our brother read just a second ago. Wherefore, it's by one man. Adam. Sin entered the world. Our representative. Sin entered in the world by Adam, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned. And because we are born dead in sin, you know what, man? He has no desire for peace with God. Because of our nature, there is no desire for peace. Man thinks he's all right. Man by nature thinks he's all right. If he just does his best, if he just does his best, everything will be all right. If he can just be religious enough, if he can just do some religious ceremony, then him and God can have peace. How many times you heard this foolish statement? I've made my peace with God. I cringe when I hear that. Because they have no peace. If you've made your peace with God, it's not by grace and you don't have peace. Grace must come before peace. The grace of God must give you peace. Otherwise, you don't have it. Why? Because we by nature are at enmity. We're at war with God. The scripture tells us that the carnal mind, that carnal mind, what is that? That's the whole nature of man. It's not just this thing in our head, it's our whole nature. It's enmity. It's not at enmity, it is enmity against God. And the proof is you don't obey the law of God. That's the proof. You're not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. God says, I'm God. Bad. Christ is the only way. Believe. And what does man do? I will not have him to rule over me. Why? He don't think he needs peace. He thinks he can make his peace with God. That's what the Lord said in, Isaiah 28. Remember those guys over there? Let me read it for you. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15. It says, talking about the scornful people, he says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge and hid ourselves under falsehood. This is man by nature. He said, we've made our peace. We've made a covenant. I made a pact with God. If I just do my best and obey the law best I can, the problem is God doesn't want your best. You know why? Because your best is the worst. Isaiah said this, but we all are as an unclean thing, and all our best, all our righteousnesses are what? Filthy rags. Filthy rag. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have carried us away. You ever imagine a dead leaf being able to put himself to a living tree? When the leaf falls off, do you suppose it has any ability to put itself back? No. Neither do we. What do we need? Grace. I tell you what, friends, we are a helpless, worthless bunch. And you're looking at the worst one. What a bliss it is to understand our hopelessness. You know why? Because this is the beginning of grace. When God ever shows you, you have nothing to offer for peace, that's the beginning of grace. What was that hymn Joseph Hart wrote? A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost have made him one. The Holy Ghost revealed him to be one. He was already a sinner, but he didn't know it. Not till the Holy Ghost in grace comes and reveals a need for peace. Do you see your hopeless condition and need of grace? Or do you still have something to offer? You see, if you still got something, you got no peace. It only comes by free grace. No other way. No other way. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father. That's the source, isn't it? from God. Grace of God. The grace of God, I know this, when God's grace reveals our hopelessness, it never stops there. I'm so glad it didn't, aren't you? You know, I've met some men like that. I've met some men that they've confessed themselves to be wicked. They confessed themselves to be hopeless. But that's it. If that's it, what a sad case, because there's no peace there, is there? No, grace never stops there. It always moves past. It reveals our need of peace. And then what? It shows us how God makes peace. Look back at your text. Grace and peace unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen how? Who gave Himself for our sins. Here is how a man has peace with God. Through the sacrifice and offering of Jesus Christ alone. In this statement, Paul sums up the whole of the gospel of justification. The whole of God's justice, the source of grace and peace is God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the accomplishment of this grace and peace is that He gave Himself for us. He gave Himself willingly. You remember Isaac? That's an illustration of that, isn't it? When Isaac was taken up there by Abraham and he willingly lay on that altar. He willingly laid Himself down. That's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ who came willingly to make peace. That's what He came for, isn't it? He came to make peace. He had a mission. He had a purpose. His purpose was to give Himself. He didn't give the things that He had. He didn't give His possessions. Those would never accomplish peace. What did God demand for peace? Blood. Without the shedding of blood, what? There's no remission. No peace. No peace. So Jesus Christ came and willingly gave Himself, laid down His life for His sheep because they needed peace that they could not provide for themselves. Listen, I'm telling you, there's peace with God. There's peace with God. It comes by grace. Do you need peace? Do you need peace with God? I'm telling you, the only source of peace is that God sent His Son. And He gave Himself. And see, God's justice then was against us because of our sins and must be satisfied in order for one to have peace. Therefore, God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why? That we might have peace. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him so that we might be reconciled to God. Isn't that the result of peace? Reconciliation. When two parties are at odds and there's peace, they're what? Reconciled. Reconciled. What reconciled them? Jesus Christ. You see, there's only one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. There's only one great high priest. There's only one surety for the elect. There's only one representative by which peace is made, and that is Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all. All the elect who are to be testified of in due time. What's the test? How do you know that you're one of them? The grace of God comes in the power of the Holy Spirit and gives you life. He gives you an understanding of your need, and then He shows you Jesus Christ, and by faith you receive Him. As many as received Him. Have you received Him? If you have, what do you got? Friend, you got peace. Preacher, I just don't feel peace. That don't matter. If you have Him, I don't care what your circumstances are. Why? Because your peace never depended on you. And guess what? It still don't. My peace was made 2,000 years ago. and it ain't changed. Oh, I feel like it changes. Oh, my heart. Troubles. They come and they're so painful. And I say, oh God. I'm like that Isaac's wife. Why am I thus? If I am a child of God, why am I thus? If there is peace, why so much pain? Why so much hurt? Why do I sin so much? But it still doesn't change my peace. Why? It was made by grace. It was accomplished by Christ. It was applied by the Spirit. And it's eternal. Friends, that's peace. Unalterable, unchangeable, perfect peace. Why? Because His offering was perfect. That's why. Because God is forever satisfied. He's satisfied. You know that big ball of fire on Mount Sinai? The blood of Christ has extinguished it by His one offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified? Well, have you received Christ? Everyone received Christ, they're reconciled. I think he just read it. I'll close with this. Go back to Romans 5. Read it with me again. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, whose faith justified you? It's His. It was His faith that justified me. Now, by faith, we received. Therefore, being justified by His faith. And that was by grace, wasn't it? What does it say? We have what? What do we have? Peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access. By faith into this what? Grace. Wherein we stand. Where are you standing? Standing on grace. I'm standing on the grace of God. On the blood of Christ as my foundation and refuge and strong tower and defense. He is my peace. What's all this for? To deliver us. Look at verse 4 of your text. That He might deliver us from this present evil world. How did He do that? He delivered us from sin, didn't He? When that will end this present evil world, deliver us from sin. He delivered us from Satan. He delivered us from this world. He won. None of that can harm you. None of that can harm you. If you're in Christ, none of that can harm you. It's all taken care of. He delivered us from the law. That's also what that means, this present evil world. The rudiments of this world deliver us from the law. Free from the law, happy condition. Jesus bled and there is remission. Why? According to the will of God the Father. For the glory of God. You know why you have peace with God? Grace. Nothing yet? Why me? I don't know. God said so. God chose you. No other reason. You can't find a reason in you, can you? I can't find a reason in me. Other than God will. God determined it. Christ accomplished it. The Spirit applies it. And the Spirit keeps it. You have, listen to me, you have peace. Right now with God.
And you know what? You have peace right now with God. And when you leave here, you will have peace with God. You go out there and you fail miserably. You have peace with God. It's just not dependent on you. It was the blood of the cross that brought peace by the grace of God. And because it's for the glory of God, it'll never fail. It'll never fail. I hope God give us grace to chew on that. Just to meditate and think. Oh God, give us faith to embrace it. I pray that He will. I pray He will.